I wasn't quite in here when Pastor Don was giving announcements, but a couple things I did want to highlight for you folks. It's not about peanut butter. People have already been asking me what this is about. You'll get to it. Don't worry. I wanted to highlight the Easter breakfast. There's a sign-up sheet back there, and we need several people to help cook food on that. And I don't want to necessarily burn out the people that always do the cooking and stuff, so that's why we made a sign-up sheet to get some others to help. And we're going to try to make the menu as simple and easy as possible. And I think last year, two people stood there for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, cooking 10 pounds of bacon. So we've reevaluated that. We won't make them do that this year. But we do have that. And we also have this men's basketball tournament. We're hoping that around 48 guys will show up to that. And there's some help that I would need in there with like a registration desk as they first come in, making sure they're all covered and paid and have the liability forms filled out. Anybody could do that. You don't have to know about basketball. We need some help running a time clock. Basically, you'd set it for 10 minutes, and at the end of 10 minutes, you'd reset it to 10 minutes, and somebody to help keep score. Obviously, when they score, you would flip over this little thing, and we're trying to work that all out. So there's those back there. I appreciate help, and I don't expect you to help the entire day, but if you could even help out just a little while, I think it'd be a really neat thing. But if you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. It's still a little humid in here. I did not drain the baptismal tank. Remind me at the end, and we can go do that. You can't do it during a service because there's the vent, and it's very loud. And we tried to do that one time. We learned really quick not to do that. But this morning, hope you also noticed that we had quite a few guests. Really make sure that we are treating them as if they're guests. I know it's mentally we think, oh, welcome visitors. And unfortunately, the word visitor puts off sort of a connotation like, oh, you're just here on a visit, and we'll never see you again. And I don't know if everybody thinks that way, but a lot of people do. So we need to make sure we're very careful about the terminology. There are guests, and we're so glad you're here, and we'd love to see you back. Even tell them as they're coming in, you know, expect a great service today, and we just have a great loving church family. Don't like scare them off like, oh, you have somebody that knows how to play the violin? Well, next Sunday we're going to put you in. Okay, that would freak them out. Just treat them like they're an honored guest, and I think that would go a long way. And I'm not saying you did or didn't do that. That's just a thought I had to share. But Ephesians 5:18. Anybody want to read that found it? Just start reading out loud. Anybody? Okay, thank you. I think it wasn't this past week, it was the week before. It was one afternoon, Pastor Allen was gone, Luann wasn't here, nobody else was here. I answered the phone. Hello, First Baptist Church, this is Josh, how can I help you? And lady said, well, I'm looking for the pastor. I said, well, you're in luck, I'm the pastor. I don't think I said luck, because we don't believe in luck around here. I just said, well, I'm the pastor, how can I help you? And she says, well, you know, I'm having a real problem. I think the Holy Spirit has left me. And her name was Kim. It's nobody that comes here. Somebody that lives somewhere else. I don't know if she just was looking through the book and just Baptist church and just guessed or what. And we had a little conversation about the Holy Spirit, and we talked about the Spirit's ministries, and I started to talk to her why maybe she feels different. And I kind of suggested the reason why maybe she feels like the Holy Spirit has left her is maybe she's not been filled by the Spirit, something that Ephesians 5:18 talks about. And I was thinking, well, maybe if this woman called me up and feels like the Holy Spirit's abandoned her or left her, perhaps there's other people that have felt like that. And that's why I wanted to study this tonight. In Old Testament times, and this is very interesting, in Old Testament times, you didn't always have the Holy Spirit inside you. Not everybody had it that was a believer or a follower of God. In fact, King Saul had the indwelling Holy Spirit on him for a while, and he did some things, and God took the Holy Spirit from him. Then David was given the Holy Spirit of God. And remember, David did some things that weren't very good. And remember one of his psalms, I think it was Psalm 51, right? He says, do not take your Holy Spirit from me and restore unto me the joy of your salvation. And there's a song that has that. And in the Old Testament times, it's much different. Not every believer was indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. But in the New Testament times, the church age, every believer from the second, the moment of conversion, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So it's not possible, I told this lady, it's not possible for the Holy Spirit to abandon you. But still, people wonder. They wonder. And in fact, I was doing some studying for this, and one sermon website, there's websites that pastors can post their sermons, and then you can look at them and steal them. I'm kidding. You borrow illustrations and outlines and things like that from them. And one of the sermon websites says the most popular sermons are Easter and Christmas sermons, but if you take away those major holidays, the most popular sermons that people read are sermons about the Holy Spirit. And he said that what that means to him is that people are confused about the Holy Spirit. Some people think, well, you know, you have to be anointed by the Spirit. Have you ever heard that phrase before? Well, we're searching for an anointing. I had one lady come up to me at the back of the church right over there. I'd preached one Sunday. This was years ago. And she says, Pastor Josh, I just know you've been anointed by the Spirit. I'm like, what? I don't even know what you're talking about, okay? And then some people say, well, you know, we can't have those feelings, and we can't strive for feelings that the Holy Spirit gives us. And people have all kinds of different views about the Holy Spirit. So I guess that's the point, is there's great confusion. So when we're confused about something, what do? We go back to the Bible, right? Well, there's five ministries, and I was taught this at college. There's five ministries of the Holy Spirit, and I've gone through this several times on different Sunday nights. The first ministry is regeneration. Okay? Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by the washing and renewing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit, he has saved us. Okay? Jesus, John 3, before he says anything in verse 16 about whosoever believes, what does he say in verse 3? You must be born again. That's something that the Holy Spirit does, an act of the Holy Spirit. And at that moment of regeneration, I also think the Holy Spirit indwells us, the second ministry. Okay? What is that? 2 Corinthians 6:14? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Okay? Then the third ministry is a sealing ministry. There's a couple different verses that talk about that. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you were sealed by until the day of redemption. And that means you cannot lose your salvation. The Holy Spirit has sealed you. Third ministry of the Spirit. Fourth ministry is Spirit baptism. And this is one of those confusing areas. People say, well, that's some mystical thing, and we're looking for a church to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. It's really nothing mystical at all. All that is a symbolic thing where the Holy Spirit places us into the body of Christ. We are placed into the body of Christ. So what's that? Four? Regeneration, indwelling, sealing, baptism, and then there's a couple other sub-ministries that people often bring up. Comforting, right? John 14. Isn't that the passage? Talks about, I will send another comforter to you. Another ministry of the Holy Spirit is a conviction ministry. I think the Holy Spirit convicts us before salvation, right? And even after salvation. And then this final, the fifth ministry, the fifth main ministry is filling, which Ephesians 5:18 talks about. This is probably the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit is, out of all the others, is probably the least understood ministry. And here's the next step. Filling is the least understood ministry of the least understood person of God. Does that make sense? I wanted to make sure I said that right. And it's always been this way. And I'm only going to make you flip one time tonight. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. I have to be very careful how I move in this suit. I already ripped a seam out. Had to have it repaired. Acts 19, verse 2. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there's a Holy Spirit." Okay? And they're talking to Paul the Apostle, I believe, in that particular passage. So even historically, when the church was just getting established, there was people that were confused about the Holy Spirit. These people didn't even know he existed. So historically, there's always been questions about the Holy Spirit, and especially this filling ministry. So let's look at this ministry of Spirit filling. Why? Why is it important for us to be filled by the Spirit? Why is it important for our church to have people that are full of people that are filled by the Spirit? Okay? Let me ask you this question. Would you rather have someone filled by the Spirit teaching Sunday school or someone that's not filled? Filled. Yeah, okay. Would we rather have people that are filled by the Spirit taking care of the babies in the nursery or people that aren't? Okay, so this is a very important thing. Even if we don't know much about what Spirit filling is, we all are thinking, well, it sounds good. Of course we want people filled by the Spirit. So this is a very important thing. It's a great need for God's people to know and understand what it means to be filled by the Spirit. So there's three basic points tonight. What is filling? Two, what difference does it make? And three, how can I make it happen? Many years ago, J. Vernon McGee, a great famous preacher, I think most everybody here heard of him. When do you think he died, Pastor Don? 85. Okay, so back in the 70s, I was trying to find out. I read this illustration. It seemed really neat. Apparently, he was preaching at the commencement of Dallas Theological Seminary. He was in his early 80s. And Dallas back then was one of the premier seminaries, and J. Vernon McGee was one of the most well-known preachers of the time, sort of what I call the big wigs, and they're preaching. And he said at this commencement, I was trying to figure out what year it was, but he said if he could restart his ministry all over again, go back to being younger, start from scratch, he would give more attention to the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And yet again, there it is, that one subject we don't know much about. And he would like to teach more on it. So Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled by the Spirit. Let's break this verse down with me together. The key idea in my mind and in other theologians' minds, and this has always made sense to me, the key idea is the contrast between drunkenness and Spirit filling. I think that's the key point there. Think about it with me for a second. When a person is drinking and driving, what do we call that? A DUI, which stands for driving under the influence, okay? Driving under the influence. Why? Because alcohol alters your behavior, okay? It makes you say or do strange things. Not that I would know, but you were supposed to laugh there. That was a joke, okay? You were all scared to laugh. All right, that's fine. not that I would know that alcohol does strange things. Okay. In the same way, being filled by the Spirit also alters your behavior. Okay? Now, Ephesians 5, if we study the entire passage, it talks about the things the Spirit will do to us if we're filled by the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, right? We'll have wisdom. It'll help us understand God's will. It causes us to sing to the Lord, right, with all kinds of spiritual songs. It makes us give thanks. It makes us mutually submissive to one another. These are all things that the Holy Spirit, different things that He'll cause us to do and make us act that way. Now, another important note as we're breaking down this verse, trying to discover the meaning, and theologians disagree with it. Excuse me, they disagree with this. But I think this is a command. Be filled with the Spirit. Like I say, you start reading theologians, they'll disagree, but I think this is a command. Now, indwelling is not a command. Be indwelled by the Spirit. That's not a command. That's a gift that God automatically does for us. Spirit baptism, that's not a command. Be baptized by the Holy Spirit. No, that's just something that automatically happens at the moment of salvation. We're placed into the body of Christ. But filling is a command. Now, Wiest, anybody ever heard of Kenneth Wiest? He's a Greek scholar. This is the way he translated it. He said, be constantly controlled by the Spirit. Now, to clarify, it's not something we do. It's something we allow God to do. It isn't fill yourself, is it? It says be filled. It's be filled. This means that we give ourselves over or make ourselves available to be filled by the Spirit. And filling isn't just for the pastor. And that's something I've heard over the years. Oh, you know, you were filled by the Spirit today when you were preaching. And, oh, thank you, you know. And it seems like that's just for me. What this is, in the Greek, I'm told this is plural. The English, well, grammar wording of it, this is a plural. God intends for all believers to be filled by the Spirit. And this is what gives life and energy to the church when we're all filled by the Spirit, when we're all being filled, when we're all being controlled by the Spirit. Now, if you also do a big, thorough study over Ephesians 4 and 5, you will see some of the things, other things that can control us and influence. Obviously, verse 18 refers to alcohol. That can control us. Chapter 4, what is it, like verse 25 says lying can control us. Anger, right in there somewhere, 26 or 27. Anger can control us. Hate can control us if we're unwilling to forgive. Bitterness takes over, Ephesians 4:32. Greed can take over. Yet to him that stole, steal no more. Rather let him work with his hands. That's like Ephesians 4:24 or something like that, okay? All these things can actually take us over and control us. But God says, hey, listen up. What I want to control you is the Spirit, okay? May your motives be godly. May your expectations be biblical. It's really about cooperation. I read that this afternoon. I thought that was a really neat word. It's about cooperation. Am I going to let the Spirit lead me, or am I going to do things my way? I think that's what the Spirit filling is really getting at. Now, what do we know about God? He's a gracious God, isn't he? But oftentimes, he lets us do things our way. Go ahead. You know, he sort of gives us that slack in the rope, and when it doesn't work out and we fall flat on our face, at that point, God might say, are you ready to cooperate with me now? It's about cooperation. It's about yielding yourself, giving control over him. It's not an emotional experience. A lot of people think, well, that's just for a select group of elite Christians. You know, if you've spoken in tongues or if you've been anointed by the Spirit or, you know, I can whip my jacket out and you all fall backwards and it's the super-duper Christians. They're the only ones that can attain this Spirit filling. No, it should be as normal as we yield It should be normal for everyone as we yield control to the Lord. For everybody. For everybody. But I'm going quicker than what I thought. If you aren't filled, it's not because of God. Let that sink in for a minute. If you're not filled by the Spirit, it's not because of God. Now, in turn, when we go to prayer, and I emphasized prayer this morning, we don't beg God to fill us. In this verse, he's begging us to allow him to fill us. That's what he's saying. Now we get to talk about peanut butter. I've been waiting for this all night. I have this jar of peanut butter. Now, if I handed it to one of you and say, hey, fill up this jar, off the top of your head, what's the holdup to filling up this jar? It's already full? That's one of the holdups. What's the other one? It's got a lid on it. Okay? I think this is the holdup with us being filled by the Spirit. You can't fill up something that has a lid on it, and you can't fill up something that's already full of something else. That's usually the problem. We can't be filled by the Spirit because we're closed-hearted, hard-hearted. We got a lid on our soul. We're reluctant to let him lead us and fill us. And then the second reason why we aren't filled by the Spirit is we're full of something else. Can't fill something that's already full. And I think that's what basically this passage is trying to teach us. A filling, you have to be empty and open in order for God to do that. And I wrote down two other words after empty and open to express it a little bit better. Humility. Hey, I don't have all the answers. I'm open. I'm open, Lord. Teach me. And then the other is an openness, meaning that you have a willingness to empty yourself of all the other junk that's inside you and say, hey, I want to grow. I want to learn. Fill me up, Lord. I'm ready. I'm available. And I think those times when we are going through situations in life and we're like, ah, I feel like the Holy Spirit's abandoned me. He hasn't. He hasn't. He indwells you. What you got to do is open up yourself a little bit. Make yourself available. Any questions, comments? We have plenty of time. Anything about the Holy Spirit? Don't confuse me too bad. Valerie. Should it be by or with the Holy Spirit? I don't know. I never knew that was a distinction. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I would agree with that. I guess that's what I intended. Yeah, we're filled by the Holy Spirit with the Holy Spirit. Okay? We're not filled by the Holy Spirit with other things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's okay. Anything at Mark?
It seems it's very clear that the Holy Spirit is a person, and he moves in, he lives within me, but he doesn't break down doors that I put up to keep him out of certain areas of my life. I mean, we know that God is a gentleman, and to me, being filled with the Spirit is letting him have access to every area as he points them out, because our tendency is to say, nope, you can't go in there, nope, that's
Yeah, and I was going to add that there's some theologians that say you can be partially filled by the Spirit. There's some areas where you can let him lead, and there's some areas where you don't let him lead. But you're even suggesting that unless you're letting him lead in all areas, you're really not under the influence.
No, he doesn't break doors down.
Mm-hmm.
We can keep him out of any area
in our life. Yep. Anybody else? Well, I think when we aren't being filled by the Spirit, allowing him to control us, that's what happens. We can quench the Spirit and we can grieve the Spirit. Well, I think I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. We can allow him to control us, or we can allow something else to control us. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yes, I can agree with that. Yeah. I think we're talking about two different things here. In our bodies, not our bodies, okay. I believe there's all men, women, people are two parts, a material part and an immaterial part. The material part is our flesh and bone and bodies. The immaterial part is our soul and our spirit. Now, some people think we're three parts, body, soul, and spirit. The soul and spirit, all throughout scriptures, they're used interchangeably so often, it seems easier to divide us up into two parts. The material part, our body, bones, flesh. And the immaterial part that lives forever, the soul and spirit. God can make the soul and the spirit we're reborn in such a way that we go on for eternity. But I'm not talking about our spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. He indwells us. He has an indwelling ministry. I quoted that 2 Corinthians 6:14, right? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? I think that's right. But in this verse, it tells us, commands us, do not be drunk with wine, but instead be filled by the Spirit. So I think the contrast and key, like I said, is control. You can either allow yourself to be controlled by alcohol and other things, anger in the passage context, or you can allow yourself to be controlled by God, Spirit. Correct. The renewing of our mind. Yeah, in Romans 12, right? Yeah, as we constantly work and strive to be like Christ and get closer to God, we're sort of opening him up and allowing the Spirit to control more and more aspects of our lives. And that's what God is asking us to do in this verse. Does that make sense? Okay. That's why sometimes we ask questions. Is there anybody else? Bonnie.
I have a book that I haven't read yet, but it's by Francis Chan. The name of it is The Forgotten God. It's just about the
Yeah, I mean, I've heard Francis Chan talked about quite a bit. I mean, I know he stood up against some of the people that were denying the existence of hell, but I've also heard some odd things about him. So just read it with discernment. Use discernment. And whenever you read a book, use discernment. So, Velda. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And when you're controlled by the Spirit, under the Holy Spirit influence, you're going to walk around according to what is it, Ephesians 5, whatever there, right there, and it talks about giving thanks continually in all things. And that's what's going to happen. As you yield, you're not going to be, oh, yeah, you're going to be like, wow, praising God. So, yeah, that is evidence of being controlled by the Spirit. Great example. Anybody else? Neil. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Right. Yep. That's a good point. Yep, part of that reservoir. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and we can wrap this up. And there's free peanut butter after the service if you want a spoonful. My kids have only stuck three or four fingers in there. And I don't see any finger track marks in there, so.
I thought that was the one I used to bait the mouse traps.
No, this is from home.
Oh, okay.
This is from home.
Look forward to seeing you all here Wednesday night for prayer meeting.